Yeah, thanks for tuning into First Take. What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Max, I gave Stephen A. the day off today. Every, you know, once a year he gets the day off. He's like, it's St. Patrick's Day. He wanted to take some green shots and eat some green bagels. So that's what he's doing right now. But meanwhile, Max, I don't know if you're ready for this. It's going to be 2-on-1. I got two football players here for you. You got me? Can you hear me, Max?
I got you.
Okay.
I got
you. All right, perfect. We got Dominique Foxworth with us. Neek, what's going on? Always good to have you. I like the fresh cut. Looking like a real young gun right now. And Marcus Spears, I don't know where he went. Welcome to 2021. We'll get him in just a second. He's going to get in on the fun. So, fellas, let's do this. And I want to start with the latest news with the Bears. They agree to a deal with, wait for it, Andy Dalton. That, according to Adam Schefter, Dalton's deal is for 1 year, $10 million, and the QB could earn another $3 million in incentives, paging longtime Chicago fan, the one and only Michael Wilbon. Michael?
That's a disaster. And it doesn't mean that Dalton is the worst guy in the league. It doesn't mean that. And this guy, Ryan Pace, should be fired if this is all he can do. And his coach, Matt Nagy, because he didn't want to coach Trubisky, he wanted to pine away for his days as an assistant in Kansas City where he had Mahomes as a redshirt. He should be fired because he doesn't want to coach Trubisky. These guys, I've been telling you this for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. They are a disaster. They have led to ruin the Chicago Bears.
Tony's in the spirit with the Shamrocks. There he is, Swaggo in the flesh. What's going on, Marcus? We'll get to you in just a second. Max, I'm starting with you here, though. Nothing. We're good. We're ready to do this. So the Bears quarterback decisions, Max, have they just ruined their chances of winning?
Yes, of course they have. And by the way, Michael Wilbon from Chicago, you feel that pain? Do you feel that pain? And a lot of people could shake their heads. Well, what do you want them to do? Right? They said Deshaun Watson's not available. Russell Wilson, they tried and they didn't do it. I'm not trying. I hear the pain from my brothers and sisters in Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. I do. They have been waiting for a great quarterback in Chicago forever. I'm 47 years old, never been one. Never really been that good of a quarterback. The greatest team of all time, the 85 Bears, had McMahon. He was fine. That's not really what that team was about. Since then, not a whiff of a Super Bowl because they haven't. Jay Cutler is a top three Chicago quarterback of my lifetime. Jay Cutler, top three. Who else is there? They can't get this right. Now consider what's happening now in a quarterback league. They pass on Patrick Mahomes. They pass on Deshaun Watson for Trubisky. But it's worse than that, guys. They traded up. They expended an enormous, like if you take first or second overall in the draft, that's an enormous expenditure of draft capital. Enormous, right? You pick second in the draft, even if you had the number two pick, you're spending enormous draft capital. If you trade up for the number two pick, that is it. When there's the greatest quarterback I have ever seen with my own eyes, Patrick Mahomes, and another like bona fide superstar quarterback in Deshaun Watson, you could have traded down and gotten those guys. You traded up to take Trubisky. You had a chance to get it right. Make him an offer they can't refuse in Texas. No, you didn't do that?
You're right.
Russell Wilson's got you on his list. Land that guy. You know, you can't do that, and you wind up with Andy Dalton? Get Dominique. Tell me all about, what are they supposed to do?
I can't defend the decisions that they've made. Nick Foles, you didn't add that on as another bad decision to try to fix this problem. They've made a lot of terrible decisions, and you're talking about the pain in Wilbon's voice and the pain from your brothers and sisters from Chicago. That's a lot of stuff. You can't put that all on this current administration, but the question is, has it ruined their chance to win? Yes, these were bad decisions. Yes, they wasted a lot of draft capital to get a guy who only had 1 year of experience at North Carolina and pass over a lot of good guys. That was bad. Yes, it was was a dumb thing to go get Nick Foles from Jacksonville last year. That didn't help. And yes, Andy Dalton is not going to be your franchise failure, but it's impossible to say that it ruined their chances to win when they've gone to the playoffs twice. They fell short last year in large part because of one drop pass. They fell short a couple years before that. They lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion Eagles because of a double doink on a field goal attempt. So their chances haven't been ruined. Like, ruined would suggest that they've just been abjectly horrible. Like, they haven't been close. Like, they haven't made the playoffs two of the last 4 years. And, like, they haven't made or they haven't come close to beating the eventual Super Bowl champ. So they haven't been ruined. I'm not going to sit here and defend everybody and say, what else are you going to do? Yes, they are in trouble. They have done a bad job. I don't know if I'd go as far as Wilbon. That's like a lot of emotional fan tied up in that, saying everyone needs to be fired. But those guys certainly don't need to be celebrated for what they've done. But they've also built a stable team and a great defense that has made them competitive. So their chances have been ruined. They've done a lot of good things around those bad quarterback decisions. And Spears can break the tie. He heard all that logic I was laying out there. You don't want to be out there with Max, do you?
Here's my point. Chances ruined to win what? What the hell did we expect the Chicago Bears to win? Like what? Like, ruin? Yeah, because everybody trying to get to the Super Bowl. The Bears ain't winning no Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Foxy. I got to disagree with you, bro. Like, when we talk about chances, what, we just want to win 8 or 9 games or make the playoffs and get bounced in the first round? That's what's going to happen with Andy Dalton, that quarterback, if you get into the playoffs. So, look, I don't want to cast any aspersions or go down the road of what the Chicago Bears have done. The Chicago Bears have been in the process of ruining their chance to win. All you got to do is look at the lineage over the last 3 or 4 years of what they've done. They benched Trubisky when they were 3-0, brought in Nick Foles. They thought they had a plan. They thought Nick Foles was going to do what they think Andy Dalton is going to do, because it ain't no way in hell they think Andy Dalton about to lift them above what some point that they were at or thought they could be at. So, yeah, like, yeah, their chances are ruined, but it's not because Andy Dalton is coming over to be the quarterback. It's because of the incompetence of the Chicago Bears year in and year out about their quarterback position, starting with the draft of Mitchell Trubisky. Like, so, yes, it's been ruined, but it ain't been ruined since the signing of Andy Dalton. It's been ruined for 4 years.
It's not. Go ahead, Dom.
I guess we all disagree on the term ruined. Like, I don't see their chance of being ruined. Like, my point is not that their goal is just to make the playoffs, but they have made the playoffs. And they were a couple points shy of winning the game against the Eagles, who went on to win the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying they're ruined. Like, winning the Super Bowl is not an accurate way to measure whether a team has been successful or failed over the course of some time, because Super Bowl is so random. Like, it's making the playoffs and it's making those wins. And I just don't look at the Bears and say that they have been ruined. Like, they've been competitive year in, year out. I understand nobody wants to be just competitive. And I understand that these quarterback decisions have been horrible, but the quarterback decisions have not been so horrible that it ruined their chances at being competitive, at winning their division, and getting in the playoffs. These are things that I wouldn't say is a ruined franchise. Like, we can look at some franchise like Houston, that franchise, that's ruined. They have ruined that because of the way that they treated their quarterback. You can look at the Lions.
Hey,
the Lions,
Dom,
franchise
the question
have been
is,
ruined. You can't say the Bears' chances have been ruined.
The question is, the operative word is chances to win, not ruin. Like, the win, and you know, it's
true. So then win what?
Right.
Define it for
win
me. Win what?
Okay, do you understand how football-obsessed Chicago
like,
is? Take the Bulls and the White
really
Sox and the Cubs
the
and everybody roll.
I mean, the Washington football team went to the playoffs last year.
The Bears are the only thing they really care about in that town is the Chicago Bears. And they have the greatest team of all time in 1985. And they've been waiting since then to win a Super Bowl in a quarterback-driven league. So Andy Dalton, the signing of him is emblematic for Chicago Bears fans.
There you go.
It's a symptom of the problem. They cannot get a quarterback to save their lives. They haven't had one in my entire lifetime where you would look at them and say, that's the franchise quarterback the next 10 or 15 years. Not one time. How many years do they have to get it wrong? And when you say ruin chances to win, what does that really mean? Look, remember when Nick Foles took the Eagles, when Carson Wentz in the defense of the title, right? The next year, Nick Foles takes him to Chicago Soldier Field. A lot of people were taking the Bears to get at least to the NFC Championship game because of how good the defense was. They didn't have a quarterback, so they didn't go anywhere. This is the problem, and so, yes, it's ruined their chances to win. Quarterback position means the Bears are limited as usual.
Go ahead, Marcus.
I mean, Foxy, that's where I am with it, man. Like,
okay, well, if you just gonna repeat the nonsense that Max said, then we don't need to hear from you. I mean,
you've been watching what we've been watching in Chicago.
I've been watching it.
And you bring up the past about the playoffs. The Texans were in the playoffs 2 years ago. Right. So what are we, you think Andy Dalton, you think the signing of Andy Dalton gives them a chance to win what?
No, I mean, it gives them a chance to win. I'm not picking them to win the Super Bowl, but it's unfair to measure every team. Like, everyone can't
win the Super
Bowl.
Everybody got a chance to win then.
Everybody does not have a chance to win. There are teams that do not. Like I mentioned earlier, the Lions don't have a chance to win. There are teams that are actually ruined by the decisions that they have made to get to this point. I think that the Bears have made awful decisions at the quarterback position. That can't be argued. But I also think that they've been competitive throughout. They've gotten to the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game, but they've been close to winning playoff games. A very makeable field goal away from knocking out the eventual Super Bowl champion Eagles. So, like,
Foxy,
let's not pretend like they've been ruined. They haven't been ruined. They've underachieved.
This
if they had a mediocre to above average quarterback, they've been better. Go ahead, Molly. I'm sorry.
You know what? A better argument would have been, guys, they don't have an offensive line. So, like, no quarterback's going to succeed behind that line. That would have been a better argument than this nonsense.
Molly, you were speaking.
All right, let me say this. Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, the quarterbacks that they brought in over the last two seasons, are among the worst QBRs, probably the most comprehensive stat among quarterbacks in the league. And, Max,
Molly, you're letting you slide because
you had a little love affair with Nick Foles, Max, and I'm letting that go. What are you mad about,
Marcus? He didn't have an offensive line. Give him an offensive line.
Molly, you don't have to read all of that off. You don't have to read all of that off to Foxy. Foxy know damn well the Bears ain't winning nothing with Andy Dalton at quarterback. The common denominator of teams that's all been right. in Super Bowls since me and Dom been playing is they had a damn quarterback. Now, if you think Andy Dalton going to take him to a Super Bowl, you live on that island by yourself, Foxy.
Yeah, I'm not betting no money on a real quarterback now,
with a real shot that Chicago messed up on. Let's go there. So meanwhile, Chicago made a very aggressive pursuit for Russell Wilson, sources telling our Adam Schefter, but the Bears were told that Seattle is not trading him at this time. Max, how should Russ's teammates feel about him now?
Well, the offensive line shouldn't feel so good. I mean, the offense, he threw them right under the bus. Let's call it what it is. Russell Wilson, one of my all-time favorites to watch.
Killed
the whole
them.
Thing. Badly underrated throughout a lot of his career. I get it. But what he just said about his offensive line, and by the way, to my eye at least, it's been less true the last year or two, the O-line play, than it was, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago. Like, when they traded Max Unger for Jimmy Graham, which they did because they felt like they wanted to bring in a weapon for Russell Wilson, even if it was misguided the way they were thinking about it. They were actually trying to, you know, hey, we're not going to re-sign all the defensive guys because they're getting older and they're going to age out of their prime. We're going to base it on Russell Wilson because Russ can cook and he's going to be in a first ballot Hall of Famer eventually. We believe that. Maybe before it was totally obvious that that was true. And here are the keys, Russ. And here's a tight end who's more like a wideout and we're going to trade our center for him, right? Well, the offensive line fell apart. Like, they had a philosophy in Seattle that they could just draft guys and get guys off practice squads, whatever, and coach them up on the O-line. They realized that was wrong because he was getting killed back there. But in the last couple years, they invested a little more resources into the O-line, at least to my eye. The O-line's played better than it did, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago. They're running the ball better. They're protecting Russ a little bit better. He threw him under the bus. And you know what, Foxy, as Marcus calls you, do you know what Russ is really saying with all this? The Seattle Seahawks are one of the better-run teams in the league. just like Russ is one of the better quarterbacks. But Russ ain't the best quarterback. You know, I'd say Seattle occupies a similar niche in the NFL, maybe a top five franchise, as Russ does among quarterbacks, top five-ish,
well, I mean, that's
and
a,
Russ
that's
is basically saying that ain't good enough for me.
That's a different conversation, but I think you're wrong about that, too, because the scarcity of quarterbacks and the difference between Russ and other quarterbacks is a lot different than the Seahawks and other organizations. So he's more unique. He's more hard to find. He's more special than Seattle is, as well as they've been run throughout the course of the Pete Carroll regime. But I would say that we're being a little unfair to Russ. Like, I rewatched the interview on the Dan Patrick Show this morning where he said those things that we all took and we blew out of proportion, like he was being so disrespectful. The first thing he said was, when Dan said that you were getting hit a lot, the first thing he said was, I hold on to the ball for a long time. He went from there to then complimenting some of his offensive linemen and then saying, yes, I get hit a lot and I would like to be a part of the decision-making process for bringing in more offensive linemen. Like, what he said was not, like, wholly disrespectful. It was an honest assessment of the situation. And I also think that we have to give the quarterback some level of leniency, which is not something that I normally want to do because I'm a DB and quarterbacks get on my nerves and they get all the credit and all the rewards. But let's be honest. No one's going to be talking about this O-line 20 years from now. No one is going to care about their legacy. No one's going to care about what they've accomplished. The pressure is on Russ because 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we're going to look back on his career and determine where he ranks in this pecking order. That is why he is being harsh on Seattle, and that is why he is being harsh on his teammates. And I don't even think it's that harsh, but that's the reason he's doing it, because he's the one. He's the guy that we're looking at. Like, I'm not a quarterback, and I understand that life is different for them. There's a different way that we measure them than we measure everybody else. So no one's going to care about everybody else's accomplishments. We're going to count Russell's championships. We're going to count Russell's passing titles. We're going to count those things. That's why he is putting the pressure on the Seahawks, because the Seahawks are nowhere near as special as Russell Wilson is. And that's fair. I don't love Russell Wilson, but everything I just said right there is true.
In regards to being disgruntled with moves that the franchise has made, or you don't feel like you're being protected enough, yeah, if I'm his teammate, I don't like what Russ is doing. I am looking at him a little different, especially if I'm the offensive line. Foxy, giving them a compliment and then saying that I need to be protected better is basically saying these guys letting people through to hit me. Like, I took that the right way. Based on that interview, Russ also holds the ball too long as well, which he acknowledged. But I don't think you do it publicly. I think they have enough respect for him to say, hey, guys, we got to get this fixed. We can't let guys through, fix the leakage. But you don't go on national radio and say nothing like that. Like, you've been in the dynamics of a locker room. It ain't about trying to appease to every feeling. But whatever guy you turn off, or if you turn off two or three guys, that becomes an issue. And then I look at the Seattle situation. Like, I get it. I'm not in there. I'm not in the inner workings. I don't know why or what Russ has a problem with, but I know Seattle signed. I know they drafted DK Metcalf, and I know what type of season they had. I know Tyler Lockett has been there. I remember when Marshawn Lynch was there and it was a really good run game and Russ had opportunities to operate at a very high level. I know Russ is going to be a Hall of Famer. We consider him a top five quarterback. Like, he's been in Seattle and all of these accomplishments have come from him being in Seattle. So I really want to know, and this is not to fight either one of y'all. Russ, tell us what the problem is. It's in a roundabout way of explaining. But from the outside looking in, Dom and Max, what has Seattle done so wrong? I need to know, because I don't see it.
It seems like you're contradicting yourself and saying, don't speak publicly, but also tell us what the problem is. Like, he's telling them that the problem is protection.
No.
He also told them that the problem is the offensive design. These are things, like, he's been honest about these problems in ways that he has never been before. And now you want him to shut up, but keep talking.
Bro, seriously, Dom. We can talk about a franchise publicly. We not going to talk about our guys in the locker room. You know the difference in that dynamic.
He ain't named no names. He said, O-line. I hold on to the O-line. Ball too long. He said, I hold on to the ball too long, and they need to protect me more. Like, that doesn't seem...
Well,
Let me give you one sentence, Max. If you are in the NFL and that hurts your feelings, That's it. That's it. If you can't get over that,
He said he holds on to the ball too long, Dom. I just checked because I wanted to make sure I was remembering it right. He said, but some of those, sometimes when I do that, it results in touchdowns. He didn't throw the offensive line compliments. He's like, yeah, I hold on to the ball too long. That's taking responsibility, right? Parenthetically, but hey, that results in touchdowns. That's how I cook. Come on, man. Let's be real about this.
Bro, we know how this is. We know how this is, man.
Russell Wilson recently by a former teammate was, what is he complaining about? They paid him. They gave him the keys. That's all true. And he's still upset about the. And now, it'd be one thing, Dom, if you're like, oh, that was innocent. He did that. But hold on, Dom, hold on. He simultaneously had his agent release a list of teams that he wouldn't turn down a trade to. So what's that about? On the record. It wasn't an anonymous leak. I'll take a trade to these four teams. You want to tell me he didn't throw his offensive line under the bus?
It's about him communicating to the organization that he is dissatisfied. He has tried other ways, I'm assuming.
Fine.
I'm not saying whether he's right or wrong.
Exactly.
He's tried other ways to go into their office, have face-to-face conversations, and eventually he was like, this ain't working. I'm going to do something new. So what's wrong with that? You want to keep doing the stuff that he feels like is leading to him not succeeding? No, he's going to find a different way. Apply pressure from the outside.
There's definition of insanity,
nothing wrong with it,
Dom.
You
keep doing the same thing.
Okay.
All right, let me leave you with
this. There's nothing wrong with it, but the question is, how should his teammates feel about him? The teammates that got thrown out under the bus should feel bad.
Times. Max is not hearing me.
Cut his mic.
Max, be quiet, please. All right, thank you. One of two quarterbacks has been hit 1,000 times since 2012. That would be Russell Wilson and Cam Newton. Regardless, if they hold on to the ball too long, they need better line help.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Let's go to the NFL, though. So before signing Andy Dalton, the Bears made an aggressive pursuit of Russell Wilson, but we're told by Seattle they are not trading Russ at this time. That according to the one and only Adam Schefter, who will be with us momentarily. The Bears were one of the teams named by Wilson's agent as a place of interest, along with the Cowboys, Raiders, and Saints. On that note, we welcome in Adam. And Adam, so clearly the Bears swung and missed. We'll get to the Seattle side of things in just a second. By the way, good day. Good to see you, as always. Thank you for being
with
us.
Nice to be with you all.
How much interest is there in Russ around the league still?
Well, quite a bit. Now, again, he listed four teams. But think about those four teams. The Cowboys re-signed Dak. He's not going to Dallas. The Bears signed Andy Dalton to a one-year $10 million deal. That included $7 million in a signing bonus, so that would seem to knock out Chicago at that point in time. He listed New Orleans. The Saints signed Jameis Winston and restructured Taysom Hill. Doesn't look like he's going to New Orleans. and Oakland and the Vegas Raiders essentially basically are committed to Derek Carr. So it doesn't look like he's going there either, right? And so it's a situation where the teams he listed don't have an opening. So now, is he willing to amend his list, go to a place that wasn't on the list? Is Seattle open to listening? The Bears made aggressive pursuits with the Seahawks in regards to Russell Wilson. But here's the thing. Chicago can't offer Seattle a quarterback solution the way other teams might be able to. The Bears didn't have a quarterback on the roster to go trade to Seattle. They have the 20th overall pick in the draft. The Bears are, or the Seahawks are not getting one of the top-rated quarterbacks in the draft with that pick. So the Bears could have put together a package, but it could not have included the guarantees of a quarterback to replace Russell Wilson. And so no matter how many times they tried, it looked like they weren't going to be able to get him. And once they recognized that the Seahawks were rebuffing every effort they made, they moved on and they signed Andy Dalton.
Adam, kind of a treetop view here. There was a lot of anticipation there was going to be a ton of quarterback movement this year. Isn't that the fact that we haven't seen it to the level we were anticipating, that the price is simply too steep? Like, the quarterback position has gotten so important that there just aren't enough draft picks that teams can offer to get the, like, Deshaun Watsons of the world to their team? Because I look at a team like Miami, that he would want to go there. No income tax, state, warm weather. They have a good team and the number three pick, which they got through a trade. They could seem to put a package that hasn't materialized yet. A lot of these quarterbacks we thought would be switching, is it just an issue that they're so important, there's not enough stuff to kind of move them? Why haven't they been moved?
Well, I think they're individual situations. I think the Texans and Deshaun Watson are each dug into their respective stances. And there's got to be more time that passes to soften one of the side stances, and we'll see which one blinks first. In regards to Russell Wilson, and I think in a way it also applies to Houston to a certain extent, think about this. There was no combine. There was no chance for these teams, these front offices, these coaches to sit down with these quarterbacks in person. There were a limited number of games last year. Not as much tape, not as many on-campus visits, not as much interaction. So if you're moving on from Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson and you're going to replace him with a quarterback in this draft, it's March 17th. You're still doing diligence. You're still doing research. You're still doing work into these guys that you want to know as much about before you move on from a potential Hall of Fame quarterback to go to one of these guys. I don't think a guy like John Schneider, the Seahawks general manager, is ready to make a move right now. That doesn't mean he won't be right before the draft. But he's still looking into these quarterbacks, studying them, getting to know them. If he had to make a decision today, I don't know that he'd feel great about it. How do you feel great about trading a potential future Hall of Fame quarterback and not being sure exactly who's going to replace him just yet? It's a hard thing to do right now. So I think that slows the process some as well, Max.
There hasn't been much movement with the Watson trade conversation. Has the signing of Tyrod Taylor given, like, some confidence or hope to other teams that maybe the Texans are considering or are going to consider moving on from Deshaun Watson and trading him away and making Tyrod Taylor a stopgap before they get to their next quarterback?
Well, what I would say about that, Dominique, is this. Look, the Texans are not oblivious to the talk out there. And they can be as insistent as they want that they're not trading Deshaun. But it doesn't mean that they're not planning in the event that he won't be there. Plus, they need a backup. So Tyrod Taylor is a perfect guy to have in your locker room. He is good enough to start. He's good enough to win this league. Again, they hope and think and believe that Deshaun Watson will show up again. Other people feel differently, but that's the way that the Texans are trying to operate. But they've got, at the very least, a backup to Deshaun Watson. And in a worst case, best case scenario, depending on how you're viewing it and what lens you're viewing it from, they've got a guy that's good enough to start. And if they wind up trading Watson for picks that produce one of the top rated quarterbacks in the draft, Tyrod Taylor would be a great bridge quarterback that young quarterback could learn from. So again, it's pretty simple. Either Tyrod backs up Deshaun, he takes over if he's not there, he mentors the young quarterback if they wind up trading for one. But again, let's be very clear. The Texans continue to stick to their stance of that they're not dealing Watson, which is where they are at on March 17th, and we'll see if they're there on April 27th as well.
Adam, I'm kind of confused by the Jets' thought process here. Sam Darnold may turn out to be a good quarterback. It's not impossible, but he doesn't look like he's going to be a great quarterback to me. His rookie deal is going to come up before too long. They're going to have a decision to make. They have a lot of draft capital, but there are quarterbacks in this draft where they could restart the process with upside. Why do the Jets seem like they want to continue with Darnold when they could reset the clock with a quarterback that at least you may think has some upside? Do they really like him that much better than everyone other than Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I don't know why you think that they want to go on with Sam Darnold. I would say this, Max, they might. It's one of the options. I think they're looking at them all. My guess and sense would be that when all is said and done, that Sam Darnold is traded. That's what I think will happen. But they're not there yet, and they haven't been made an offer to trade him that they believe is worthwhile at this time. There's that phrase, because so much of this is fluid with all these quarterbacks. And so the Jets have not committed to keeping Sam Darnold. They just haven't made a move with him as of yet. They've gotten a bunch of calls from a bunch of teams. And see, even though today is the start of the new league year and the real start of free agency that really got underway on Monday, this is not a deadline for these quarterbacks like Sam Darnold and Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. The real deadline is before the draft, during the first round of the draft, when these other quarterbacks are about to be selected. Because if the Texans like one of them, if the Seahawks like one of them, if the Jets value a pick, that's when these moves are going to be made, closer to the draft than closer to free agency. This is an artificial deadline. Mm-hmm. This is not any sense of urgency right now. 5-6 weeks from now, there will be urgency. And then we'll see teams really show their cards and their true colors as to what they feel about these quarterbacks. We'll see if the Texans continue to stick to their stance. Seahawks, same thing. Jets sticking with Darnold. I have a feeling that some circumstances will be a little bit different 6 weeks from now.
Adam, I want to talk about New England because I'm always fascinated with that organization, obviously the dynasty that they are, and with Bill Belichick and his moves. And it feels like he moved with a sense of urgency, spending more than we're accustomed to with him and then committing to Cam Newton. How likely do you think they are to draft a quarterback still in this draft?
Well, the problem with that, Molly, is that it's going to be a value decision. I think the Patriots right now are scheduled to pick 12th, if I'm not mistaken, 12th, 16th, somewhere around there. They have a mid-round pick, whatever the number is. One of the top-rated quarterbacks is not going to be there at that spot. I believe there's going to be four quarterbacks that go in the top 6-7 picks of this draft. So if the Patriots value one of them, not going to be there for them. Now, where they're at, maybe there's a quarterback that they like at that point in time, a Mac Jones or somebody that they feel like has tremendous potential. Yeah, they could do that, but you're not banking on that by any stretch of the imagination. So I think it'll be a question like any other draft. They'll have grades on quarterbacks, and is there a quarterback that they value available in a slot that they didn't expect, that they think is the best pick at that time? But you couldn't say that now going into the draft. It's way too early.
Can I take you back to the Jets Sam Darnold question? You said it's likely, you think it's most likely that he's going to get traded. Could you give me a couple of the most likely destinations where you think Sam Darnold could end up?
Well, Dominic, I didn't say it's most likely he's going to be traded. I said that if I had to guess, I would say I would lean that way.
Gotcha.
But we're early in the process. And look, Denver didn't solve its quarterback questions. Carolina still has quarterback questions. There are teams out there that still have quarterback questions. Now, that's the interesting part about this, is that the Jets lost some suitors this week. Washington signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Bears are going with Andy Dalton. Right. So two teams right there, Chicago and Washington, filled a quarterback hole. The Carolina Panthers didn't make a move at quarterback. The Denver Broncos didn't make a move at quarterback. There are some teams out there that haven't made a move at quarterback. Not as many as have. So, again, I don't know if the Jets have the number of options, but we'll see how that one plays out. Plus, again, I do believe that Sam Darnold is familiar with Pete Carroll and vice versa from USC. Maybe somehow there's a connection there. We'll see. You never know how these things play out. But again, I think the Jets had more options at the start of this week than they do right now.
Hey, ping-ponging real quick back to Belichick and the Patriots, Adam. Usually he lets the market settle down and then grabs values.
Yeah.
He did not do that this year. What is the difference? Just obviously what everyone says, hey, Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl, or is there something else going on here? He doesn't normally behave this way in free agency.
Well, there's a couple of things. I think the first thing is they were targeting this offseason all of last year, well before this all unfolded with Tom Brady in the playoffs, as being major players in free agency. They had planned for it, allocated for it, and that was always going to be the case, that New England was going to dive into free agency when it had a lot of cap room set up for this year. Cap room this year that they didn't have last year. So that was number one. Number two, I think there was a recognition after going through last season that the team wasn't as good as it wanted it to be, that there were holes on the roster, that there were talent deficiencies in certain spots. They used to excel at tight end. Last year, their tight ends combined to catch 18 passes all year. Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez might catch that in a game back in the playing days, the prime of their playing days. And so there were a lot of holes. This is a talent-deficient roster that had a lot of room, and they tried to address some of those holes this week.
I'm into it. Adam Schefter, a wealth of knowledge, as always. We'll talk to you soon, sir. Thank you so much for the time. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. The Gonzaga Bulldogs are entering this year's NCAA tournament as the number one overall seed. The Zags will try to finish the season undefeated, which would be the first time since 76. Bob Knight's Indiana Hoosiers. On that note, we welcome in Gonzaga head coach Mark Few. Coach Few, thank you so much for being with us, and huge congrats. I know you don't want to hear the congrats yet. The party's just about to get started. We're all excited for the tournament, but thank you so much for being with us this morning. And I got to ask you this, you know, on the show, we're making our picks. We had Dickie V here, Stephen A. Max, all picked your team to win it all. How do you keep this squad kind of focused on the moment, game by game, and not getting ahead of themselves?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. And as I said off air, big fan of the show. The Few family wakes up to it every morning. So,
Love it. Listen,
it's been really easy keeping this group grounded. They're not caught up in all the undefeated stuff. They're not caught up in the national championship or bust. They're a very focused, you know, what's the next task at hand, group. And highly competitive, and I think that's been a huge part of our success this year.
Coach, this century has seen the Zags go from, you know, a mid-major program, whatever, to a powerhouse year in and year out, and you've been there the whole time. What is the key? Like, how does something like that happen since you've seen the entire evolution and are obviously largely responsible for it?
Gosh, Max, I'd say the biggest thing is just continuity. And I've had the same athletic director the entire time I've been at Gonzaga, and he's been a partner with me through this time. My staff has changed over a little bit, but, you know, it stayed relatively the same. And then just a kind of a cooperative, collective effort of growth, of never being happy where we're at, and the school and everybody's been involved with that all the way up to the board of trustees and heck, even the community. Spokane and the whole kind of state of Washington has grown with us as this, as Gonzaga's kind of, you know, blossomed into this entity that where we're at right now.
Coach, thanks for joining us. So the coronavirus has impacted everyone's season and really opened our eyes to a lot of things. And I think the professionalism of college athletics has been kind of obvious with the way that we're making sure that the players participate. So I was wondering if this season has changed the way you view player compensation in any way.
I don't know if it's changed. I've kind of always been for player compensation. I'm all for guys, you know, being able to earn whatever they can, as long as it's, you know, it's a tricky thing, you know, not getting boosters and people like that involved. You know, if there, I think we're still wrestling with that as we move forward with this NIL legislation, which is coming down the pipes here very shortly. But I would just say this during this entire year, I am just constantly amazed at the resiliency, the drive, the just the love of the game that all the players have shown to put up with all the challenges that, you know, the virus protocols and everything have brought to all of us. And it's just amazing to me the grace and class and I just marvel at our guys. You know, I mean, we're changing things today with our schedule and how we're moving around in this bubble. I mean, this is a pretty restrictive thing we're in right now, but the guys got big smiles on their face and are so fired up just to play hoops. And I know, I can say this, and I think you guys feel the same way. It's just such a awesome feeling and blessing to finally get to this NCAA tournament and get it going again after we didn't have it last year.
No question. I'm so excited. Just so it feels like a sense of normalcy to kind of have that back, to root for our teams, all of that. And Coach, you said that the Few family pays attention to First Take. In the Rose family, we pay attention to Jalen's. We've got big egos in this household, so we pay attention to all the Jalen's. And that would be Jalen. And I'm not lying. The special attention to guys like Jalen Suggs and the impact that he's had on your squad as a freshman. Talk to me about that.
Well, what is it about Jalen's, man? I'm telling you what, I need, they are something. he has been just such a godsend. And I'll tell you, he has been the most coachable player, I think, as high a level that I've ever been associated with. He just yearns for coaching. He yearns for, you know, help in development. And he's just been an incredible, humble teammate from day one, and such a ferocious competitor that I think our guys just, mm-hmm. you know, they all fell in love with him from day one. And I'd be remiss to not acknowledge the effect, and I think Jalen would definitely tell you this, the effect Corey Kispert and Joel Ayayi have had with him, just their experience of going through all this, and he's really leaned on them a lot mm-hmm. during this year, and he's just an absolute joy to be around. So it must be something about those Jalen's. Your guy seems like the same type of guy.
Special kid. Shout out to the Jalen's for sure. Shout out to my late mother-in-law for coming up with that name. Coach Few, thank you so much. This really was a lot of fun. Great to have the tournament back. And like I said, the whole show picked your squad to win it all. So no pressure. Maybe we'll be talking to you down the road here.